only care about the National League, by the way, guys. I don't care about the American League.
Why not?
I don't know. I can't explain why I prefer the National League over the American League. I think it started off when I was a kid. Right across the river from me were the Philadelphia Phillies. So I grew up watching Steve Carlton and Mike Schmidt play baseball. And then I fell in love with, and John's probably going to laugh at me about this, I fell in love with the Montreal Expos.
Why?
Goodness. John Sumple has been kind enough to take time out of his busy day. Maybe he can help me out and psychologically
Rusty, stop.
John, why did he fall in love with the Montreal Expos?
Rusty, stop.
Okay.
Yeah, and we also had Gary Carter was the catcher at the time.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, Oil Can Boyd.
Yes.
Was a pitcher for quite a while.
And Dennis Martinez,
well, that's right.
Superstar back in the day.
That's a pretty
right.
cool name.
We also had Oil Can Boyd. We also had, if I'm not mistaken, we had Tim Raines and Andre Dawson.
And Warren Cromartie as well.
Warren Cromartie.
Three best outfielders in baseball at that time.
Yep, and that was the most horrible stadium. Was it Olympic Stadium where they played?
Oh,
and it was just
horrible. I did a road trip once about 15 years ago, and one of the destinations was to Olympic Stadium, and there was, I think, about 700 fans for the game that I went to.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. You could hear everybody talking.
I used to joke and say, you know, it was a bad night doing stand-up comedy when you can hear ice clinking in glasses.
you could hear people slurping their sodas and crunching on popcorn at a baseball game.
You hear the waitress taking drink orders. That's just never good for anybody. Let's look at the National League and see, you know, the East and the Central look pretty tight with the Braves and Marlins battling out in the East and the Brewers, Cardinals. I'm still shocked at the Brewers. But let's look out West. What are the Giants that good? Or is the rest of the West just that bad?
Well, I think one of the things with the Giants is that their pitching has always been something that people rely on, and their hitting seems to go through these cycles of every other year they're really good. You can count on Buster Posey. But this year you had Morse and I'm drawing a blank on the other guy, the second baseman, they both have had a great year. So they're getting, and it seems like every other year they bring in a piece that helps the team, but they're getting offensive production and power production from unlikely sources that they didn't have a year ago. So, it's one of those things when you put the two ingredients together, you do have success. You know, the Braves are an example. The Braves, great pitching, no hitting right now. You get the hitting to come up, the Braves are all of a sudden one of the best teams in baseball.
Now, looking at the AL, and I'm more partial to the AL because of the Detroit Tigers and me being from Detroit, was it a good move for Seattle to get Robinson Cano? Because judging by their record, they're not even over 500 right now. They're five and a half games back of the Oakland Athletics. Was that a good move by Seattle?
Well, I think the reason why it was made, and I live out here, so I experienced the mania that was surrounding it as it happened. And it was there's a PR component too, and then also a statement to the team and the younger players that were making a commitment to a future of success. So now it's really up to the team to, you know, the players that are in development to deliver. And that's one of the things that they were hoping that they would be able to do, is bring in a linchpin that could help solidify all this, the movement of young players through the system. So far, though, the players that are surrounding him haven't delivered to expectation. Justin Smoak and Dustin Ackley have underperformed dramatically based on what their potential had indicated prior. So those are two components that have not delivered. The pitching is there for Seattle. They just need a few more bats, and I think that, you know, they'll be a contender. Will they make it this year? I don't think so, but they're not that far away.
John Sumple on the 811 VIP hotline. Staying in the AL, what is wrong with the Boston Red Sox?
Yeah, I was 2 years ago when they had their miserable last place finish. I felt that was probably a little bit of an indicator below where they should be. And last year was just a shocking surprise. And I do believe that there was a lot of motivation around the Boston Marathon event that helped kind of solidify the city, and it was one of those things where everything came together. And right now, it's just that their pitch, if their pitching isn't good, they rely too much on their hitting, and I think when they get into slumps like they've had, they have a tendency to press and push, and the results aren't there. But baseball is a tough game because unless they're being beaten by, you know, their run differential is huge, and they're being beaten, you know, soundly every night, they're losing games by 1 and 2 runs, so they're not that far away. They're not a sub 500 ball club. I think that they're a above 500 ball club, and I know that will irritate Red Sox Nation that thinks that they're much better than that, but they're getting older too. David Ortiz, despite all the greatness that surrounds him, is getting older, and he'll eventually be gone. And you know, you have some iconic players there that are showing, you know, signs of aging. And when you start to get older, the injuries start occurring as well. So, you know, they're entering that delicate Yankee territory too, where your aging superstars start to show their age. So. I think, you know, it's just, again, a matter of if the pitching comes back around with Boston, they'll be fine.
Now, can Toronto, can the Blue Jays keep this up? I mean, their bat's on fire right now. But after the All-Star break, are they capable of keeping this up with, you know, obviously Baltimore is a very good team, and then the Yankees are the Yankees?
Yeah, it's an interesting, they're a tale of 2 months, because April, their offense was just missing completely. Edwin Encarnacion didn't hit a home run, I think, until his 20th game. So here's a person who, you know, they're relying on being a big bat, had no home runs through the first 20 games of the season. But in the last 12 games, he's hit 10 home runs. So he's on fire right now. And you've seen when the bats come alive, that's their winning streak. So, you know, his crazy production in a short time frame to going from, you know, unheard of to now one of the top home run leaders in baseball, he's been a catalyst for this recent surge. So now they're in that 10-game over 500 mode. They play 500 the rest of the year in that division. They're in playoff hunt. So I think the thing for them is they probably won't keep up this pace. It'll be almost impossible to keep this pace up. But if they can go 500 or a little bit above the rest of the year, they're in wild card contention. So they could be in it for the long haul.
We're talking to John Semple on the 811 VIP hotline. Get all of his stories and all of his writings at throughthefencebaseball.com. John, you're up in the Pacific Northwest. A couple of weeks ago, I proved scientifically to a friend of mine who's a big, huge Sasquatch fan that Bigfoot doesn't exist. You haven't seen him up there, have you?
I have not seen him yet. We haven't crossed our paths as of yet, but you know, there's always a possibility. I mean, I did hear you mention something about UFOs.
Now, here's my question. I do believe in extraterrestrial life. I believe that we as humans are so arrogant that we actually think we are the smartest things in all of the universes combined. I couldn't even tell you when that came to me as far as why I would believe that. What are you a believer in UFOs?
Yeah, and partially because I saw a few growing up as a kid in Connecticut on three different occasions. Two occasions where they were seen by hundreds, if not thousands, of people. I live in a small town in Fairfield County, Newtown, Connecticut. And they, the news, local police station had over, I think, 200 calls to one of the sightings. And the explanation was, oh, it was atmospheric conditions and the lights from the runways at JFK, which was impossible. But that was their explanation. But no, I do, from that point of view. My dad was big into astronomy, actually helped develop the touchdown light for the lunar module on Apollo 11.
Nice.
So there was this sense of wonder about space when I was younger, and the Carl Sagan stuff. So I was open-minded to it. And then I over the last 5 years, been working on a documentary film that took me into a whole new world. I'm not a ufologist. I'm not a hardcore believer storyteller. And the film provided an opportunity to open my eyes tremendously as a result of that.
So you watch Cosmos with Neil deGrasse Tyson on the weekends, right?
I have not seen it yet, and I know that I need to watch it. But can I put in a shameless plug for the
please,
film?
Please, please do.
The name of the film is Extraordinary, the Stan Romanek story, and it's available for viewing on altpov.tv. That's altpov.tv. And it launched a couple weeks ago on the website, and the response has been very positive to it so far. Only two negative out of probably 500 views so far. But overall, it's a story of a person who's been through multiple abduction experiences. And it's a pretty fascinating story based on the evidence this guy has collected. And it's very human-focused as well, because it shows you the emotional impact that he and his wife and family have been through as a result of their journey. So it's a pretty fascinating story, something we're proud of. And just helping, you know, people see that these people don't wear tinfoil hats, right, and they're missing teeth, that they're normal people.
Not hoarding cans of beans or anything like that.
Right.
Now, right. Here's a question for you. What's your favorite alien abduction movie?
I have to tell you, the one that kind of blew me away was The Fourth Kind, when that came out, because I read the press a little bit before and didn't know that there was this a little bit of a setup. And after I walked out of the theater, after seeing that, I sat down, I was like, if this is even remotely true, this is crazy. But that one, really, I don't know if you saw it, but it was pretty visceral, very, very graphic in the storytelling. And it seemed plausible. But after reading, a couple days after seeing it, that there was a lot of creative license taken with the film.
I think one of my favorite visitor stories that I've seen on TV and movies, there was a Twilight Zone called The Gift.
Ah, yes.
Where a stranger shows up in a village in Mexico, and they go crazy because they think he's a monster, so they kill him and come to find out he's got a cure for cancer. Wow. You know, stuff like that. So yeah, well, Rod Serling did that to your brain. He had a way of breaking your head, which, you know, he was good at. John, we're gonna check that out. AltPOV.TV, and the name of the film again?
Extraordinary: The Stan Romanek Story.
The Stan Romanek Story, and it's available for viewing. Man, I'm writing this down real quick. We're going to get a hold of you as we get closer to the All-Star break, because I want to get your thoughts about how do we replace the All-Star game, or how do we improve the All-Star game?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I heard you talk about it earlier, and I agree. I watched the home. I'm more interested in the Home Run Derby than the game itself.
Right. So they should have. You know, I've said this about the Pro Bowl with the NFL, that instead of having the Pro Bowl, they should do, like, remember Battle of the Network Stars?
Yeah, that was fun.
But, like, with a skills competition.
Sure. No, I agree. I mean, they have that in hockey. They have it in basketball. It makes that a little bit more interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't want to show players up and have them look like 50 Cent did.
Horrible.
Carly Rae.
I actually think it was a brush back to the photographer that he almost said.
Or at least that's what he said when he walked off the bump. And I think Carly Rae Jepsen texted him and said, "Dude, you need to improve." What makes someone in a promotional department say, you know who'd be good throwing out a pitch? A guy who's never held a baseball in his entire life. Let's get 50
right.
Cent.
Right. It's that whole idea. Did he warm up a little bit? Did they give him any indication of how far 50 feet was so that he could, you know, get a little bit? I would think that they practice. I would think they wouldn't want it, because there's so many examples of failure doing that. I mean, I can understand women who have never thrown a ball
right.
before, but at some point, guys, you would think, have picked up something, whether it's a frisbee, a baseball,
a shoe, a rock.
Yeah, skimming stones, something at some point would have thrown an object a distance of more than 5 feet and could, you know, hit the broadside of a barn.
It really looked like 50 Cent was like, what is this in my hand? What do I do with this? It's like that was the first time he ever threw anything.
Well, I think part of it is when you look at the way they grip the ball, and you grip the ball in the palm of your hand,
oh,
it
you're
could
done.
Go anywhere.
Yeah, you're done.
That's part of their problem.
They
have instructions out there for first pitch candidates.
Oh, there's like a sheet?
They should be.
Or maybe you just shouldn't get rappers to throw out the first
maybe,
pitch unless they
maybe.
Have baseball experience. John, thanks for taking time out of your day to join us on the 811 today.
Thanks a lot, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
John Sumple of ThroughTheFenceBaseball.com.